Welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Journey with us as we discuss the life of a gentleman and how we can gain more respect and confidence with lessons in life, etiquette, and personal style. Each week, we will bring engaging discussions, thought-provoking interviews, and tips on upgrading your personal style. We are all a work in progress. Let's take this journey together. Let's live the life of a gentleman.
Hey everybody, it's DeAndre Marie, the producer and sometimes guest host on The Life of a Gentleman. And I'm back to give you guys another best of episode for 2017. Now, I know last week I said that we were going to be having a new episode this week with all new content, but being that some of our contributors and even Rich has been on vacation and away and busy, we wanted to make sure that you guys still had an episode whilst getting it together for next week. Now, these are going to be some of my top picks for some of the episodes that we've recorded in 2016. And I'm just happy I'm able to share them with you. And I'm happy that you guys still listen and you tune in. And we really, really, really do appreciate it, because the reason we started to do these best ofs was to continue to give you guys content and something to listen to, even when, you know, we're still getting our ducks in a row as far as recording and scheduling and things like that. So without any further ado, one of my top picks is when Richard and Charles talked about chivalry. And I think that's just very important. We live in a day and age where chivalry really isn't what it used to be. And I really liked how they touched on topics, you know, bringing it to modern day and how to treat people. And I really enjoyed editing that when it first came out. So listen to back in the day when Rich and Charles talked about chivalry, only on The Life of a Gentleman.
Welcome to another edition of The Life of a Gentleman podcast. I'm Richard Taylor, an award-winning author, apparel industry expert, and business owner. I'd like to personally thank you for listening today and taking time to journey with us as we strive to live by the gentleman's code. Please, if you would, could you rate, review, and subscribe to the Life of a Gentleman podcast? The reason we ask that is because it helps us to get this information out to other listeners that may find the information to be useful and beneficial in their lives as well. In fact, we'd like to offer you a free gift before we get started. Please feel free to download your own personal copy in an ebook version or audiobook of The Life of a Gentleman. This is over 144 pages of information on living this gentleman's lifestyle. It's available by visiting harrisonblakeapparel.com. Go to the blog and simply download your free copy. And at this time, I'm joined in studio once again by my co-host, Charles.
Hey, Richard. How is it going today?
I'm doing great. It's definitely good to be able to connect and talk about living this gentleman's lifestyle, because it's so important. When you look at the world today, you don't see many people striving to show respect for others. So this, I feel, is a benefit for everyone.
Yes, and just thinking about some of the past episodes, we talked about so many things, about grooming, about proper suit fit. But this is very important, because this is something that comes within that you can't see on the outside.
Yeah, definitely. So what are we going to dig into today?
Today we're going to talk about chivalry. Is chivalry dead, or manners? Is that dead nowadays?
It may not be dead, Charles, but I'm thinking it's on life support.
It may need some reviving and quick and urgent. Man, when we were going to do this discussion, it just transported me back when maybe about 10, 15 years ago. I was at the grocery store and I seen this couple. They had a cart of groceries and they were going to their car. Now, this couple, I don't know how old they were, but it appeared they may be in their late 70s. Early 80s. And what the man did, it impressed me so much.
What did he do?
Oh man, like, they wasn't very well dressed. They were dressed nicely as an older couple, but he went to the door and he opened up the door on the passenger side for his wife first and waited till she got in the car, put the seatbelt on, and then he closed the door for her.
Wow, man. How'd that make you feel?
Man, that was so impressive because at that time, I was dating, and I know I would open the door, but then after a while, it kind of goes away. And it showed that that type of being a gentleman like that, it's something that should never die but continue on even as you get older in life.
Well, let me play devil's advocate for a minute, because a lot of people may be listening to that and they're saying, boo, no, Charles. This Charles is an old soul. He's Mr. Old Fashioned. He's probably from the 1800s, you know? Still reads the newspaper.
Man, this is a subject, or this is something, like I said before, it's not something from the outside, but it's something from the inside. So if we want to live, we know that the chivalry will not be dead.
Yeah, it's true. I'll take a little quote from our book, The Life of a Gentleman, where it says there, the measure of a man, the true measure of a man, is how much respect he shows others, not just himself. So that gentleman that you saw, showing that respect probably after so many years of marriage, what kind of impact do you think it had on not just you, but also maybe others that saw it, and also his wife?
Oh, his wife, she seemed to be very content with him and within their marriage. And if they had kids, I'm sure that that was instilled within them also too. So being a gentleman, it's not only have an impact upon you, but it has an impact upon people who you don't even know is watching.
Yeah, very good point. Now, here's one thing, since you talked about chivalry, we'll kind of go on down that subject for a minute there. Opening up doors. Yes. I mean, you see that in old movies, black and white films, guys opening up doors. We still have to do that today.
Oh, yes. You definitely have to do that. You have to open up a door. But it was funny. I just read an article this week when it was called Etiquette Shaming. It was talking about a person who had opened up the door for somebody. And before the person was even walking through, the person who was holding the door, he was said, "Oh, you're welcome," as if shaming them for not giving him a compliment.
Not very gentlemanly, is it?
No, it doesn't seem like a gentleman. A gentleman would not shame someone else, even though that they were rude. They keep that to themselves.
Yeah, good point. But you know what? In today's day and age, chivalry sometimes can be frowned upon. And when you're opening up the door for someone, sometimes you even can get a little pushback. People saying, "Oh, I don't need you to open up that door for me." So one tip that I've come across is you can simply ask, "May I hold this door for you?" And that way it puts the ball in their court, so to speak, and they have a chance to decline for whatever reason that may be.
Yes, and you do sound polite. And like you say, you're putting that ball in their court and you're taking the focus off of you, because this is just what you do. But you're putting the focus on them and give them a chance to express their thankfulness.
Yeah, sure. And you know what? It doesn't have to just be for women. It actually can be for anyone. Say you're on a public transportation, bus, train, something like that. What can you do? Let's say there's an elderly person of any gender. What are some things you can do?
Well, if you are a able-bodied person and you have a seat on a public transportation or somewhere, maybe you're in your place of worship and you see someone standing there, maybe an elderly person, person with a kid, a person,
maybe someone pregnant with a physical disability
simply ask, "Hey, would you like my chair? Would you like my seat?" And stand up and offer that seat.
Sure. And also in the book, The Life of a Gentleman, we give a few verbal cues that you could take that kind of smooth things over. You could say, "Would you like my seat? I'm happy to stand." That means you don't mind standing, so they don't feel like they're putting you out. And if they decline for whatever reason, you could also say to them, "Please let me know if you change your mind. It's no problem at all." Imagine how that person's gonna feel, even if they don't take you up on the offer, but how they're going to view you as a person.
Yes, and when you're doing this, you should smile. Because remember, we're talking about the inside. We're not only transforming our outside, but we're transforming our inside. And this is how a gentleman acts, and this is how a gentleman thinks. It's no question on whether or not you should get up. It should be second nature, and this is something that we're growing to become and helping.
That's great. You mentioned growing because this may be a foreign territory for a lot of us.
Yes.
And let's say you have a significant other, and all of a sudden now you're pulling out chairs and you're opening doors. They're going to wonder who you are and what did you do with the old you. So what do you say to somebody who just decides they're gonna implement some of these things, and they get a little pushback, or they get that little puzzled face?
Why are you bringing me flowers? Why are you doing this? What did you do?
How do you answer that?
Oh, no. A gentleman does not have to answer himself. If you continue on and you keep doing it, then it will be greatly appreciated. You know, it also takes me to another example. I know when I was younger, my sister, she actually had this driving teacher. He was coming over to pick her up from the house, and he was going to teach her how to drive. And he pulled up in front and he honked the horn. In front of the house.
Just beep, beep. Yeah.
Beep, beep. And honked the horn in front of the house. And my dad, being the gentleman that he is, love him to death, he went out and he confronted them. And he said, "How would you feel if I came to your house and I was picking up your daughter and I honked a horn from her? How would you feel? Like she's cattle coming out just herding her." And the teacher, he apologized tremendously. And he said, "You know what? I shouldn't do it. I'm sorry." So these tips that we're showing, we're talking about a lifestyle. How is this going to look to your child? How is this going to look to the people around you? How are you going to feel when you start displaying these and you get that smile, you get that nod? How does it project to other people, Richard?
It's going to make an impact. People are going to think highly of you. They're definitely going to say, "You know, that guy there, he's a gentleman."
Yes.
And the point we really want to stress is that it's not old-fashioned. It's not out of date.
Yes.
Manners don't go out of style.
No.
In fact, there's a quote that I'd like to share. It's by Charles Kingsley. He says, "Some say that the age of chivalry is past, that the sport of romance is dead, but the age of chivalry is never past. It's never going out of style."
No, it's not. You don't have to tell people how much of a gentleman you are. You only have to show them.
Yes. Very good point. It's something for us to think about. And definitely, we can all apply some of these tips in our life. And we can see the benefits just by talking about it in a brief discussion. But we'd love to get your feedback. We invite everybody to please email us, podcast@harrisonblakeapparel.com. Tell us your experiences, share them, and perhaps we can get you to come on the show and talk about it.
Yes, and you never know how, if you act like a gentleman, what impression you would make on other people to step up their ways and act like a gentleman too.
Yeah, great point. Let's take this journey together. Let's inspire one another. Let's strive for greatness on our journey to live this life of a gentleman. At this time, I think it would be great if we transition into our interview segment. How do you feel about that?
Let's go.
Wasn't that great to listen to? I mean, it's very refreshing to hear people still have those quote-unquote old school values and still apply them to today, because what we need more than ever is to still at least treat each other right and be kind to one another. My second favorite moment, well, one of my second favorite moments on the Life of a Gentleman, was when we interviewed Michael of Netter Gold, and his business is about genuinely moisturizing the skin. In the interview, he talked about he was looking at different skin products in the store, and that a lot of the ingredients truly dry out your skin. So being that it is winter, I know Richard and myself live on the East Coast. It's very cold, it's very dry. We need to keep our skin fully and thoroughly moisturized. So I wanted to share this with you guys again. This is Michael of Netter Gold, the interview he had with Richard. I hope you enjoy it.
Welcome back, everyone, to another edition of The Gentleman's News, the segment where we interview so many different people from different walks of life, but they all bring us great information every week. And this week, we have the pleasure of interviewing Mr. Michael McNair from nettergold.com. Michael, how are you doing?
Oh, spectacular. Chicago. It's a beautiful day, man.
That's great to have you on. I'm glad we were able to make this interview happen because you have a product and a website that I'm sure the listeners are going to want to check out. Can you tell us the name of your website and what it is exactly that you all provide for people?
Well, our website is NetOfGold. The URL is NTRGLD.com, an abbreviation of the word NetOfGold. And what we offer is completely customizable skin and hair care products for the everyday man, the everyday woman, and even the everyday baby. Our purpose for doing this, our reason for doing this, we got tired of realizing that anything you look at in a jar is artificial for the most part. Like, if you look at a tub of lotion, it says cocoa butter, and, you know, it has 26 ingredients, and maybe the 20th ingredient is cocoa butter, you know, or cocoa butter extract. And for me, I realized my skin was natural, right? It's 100% natural, the most beautiful thing I have on me right now. So I need to make sure I treat it correctly. And with that, we made sure our products have no more than 10, you know, ingredients. We do a body butter, it's only 7, 8, you know, skin scrub, maybe 10, you know, or beard oil, 6. You know, we try not to overdo anything. We want to make sure people have the ability to create their own. Because I'm not allergic to anything, but my girlfriend's allergic to almonds. So she can't use what I like to use. You know, so I wanted her and everybody else to have the ability to create something that's truly unique just for them. Because you are unique. You were born unique. You're going to live unique. And you're going to pass away unique. So there's no need to conform, you know, to what people tell you you have to do and put in your skin.
Yeah, I like that idea. You said something that was really wise, that our skin is natural, so why are we putting artificial ingredients on our skin and in our hair? So I take it you guys are taking this all natural approach. It's probably more healthy for us and a lot more effective for our skin, isn't it?
It's amazing. Like, if you look at the, I'm not going to say the name of this company, but if you look at the leading baby lotion, right? Come in my little pink bottle, and on, I think we got kind of about 25 ingredients, and 3 of the ingredients are parabens, which are just synthetic preservatives. Then there's colors, right? So it's red 53, you know, blue 24. And this is just to make it that nice pink color. But you're putting this on babies, right? Babies are the purest beings. They were just, like, they were just crafted. How can we allow such artificial stuff on pure skin? It always confuses me, you know? And Harris like is an amazing apparel company, right? And the most important ensemble or, you know, accessory you have is your skin. You know, if your skin isn't popping, you don't feel like you're popping. You know, you have to look good to feel good. You know, you have to feel good to look good. If your skin isn't where it's supposed to be, if your hair's not where it's supposed to be, no matter what you're wearing, what accessories you have on, you can always feel self-conscious. So you gotta make sure you take care of it. You know, and using artificial stuff on natural, you know, skin, you just, it's not gonna work out. At least not in the long run. You know, temporarily you look beautiful. But as time goes on, age sets in, you know, those negative effects of these untested products are gonna cause you, you know, wrinkles, dark spots, liver spots, unattractive damage in the future, so that way.
Yeah, no, everything you're saying makes perfect sense. So now that we've kind of established why you set up this company or why there was a need, how did you do it? How did you get started with this?
Funny story, I had an old girlfriend, and I was using her shower one day when I was coming in from playing tennis or something. And I was all sweaty, and she had this random jar, and it said body scrub on it. And I was like, all right, well, let me give it a shot. Let me be fancy for that. And so I used it, and I fell in love with it. Like, the way my skin feels, you know, it just felt so smooth. When I got the shower, I dried off, and like a couple hours later, I started feeling like a cracking on my skin.
Oh, no.
I couldn't figure out what it was. Yeah, I was like, I couldn't figure out what it was. It was like, just, it felt weird, like something was crawling on my chest. And I couldn't figure it out. Yeah, okay, so I got some of her lotion put on. It helped for a little bit. So I kept using the scrub, the skin scrub, believing that was, you know, helpful, right? So we went through, we went to Marshalls. And I got them from Marshalls. And it was like $8 for a tub of it. I'm like, oh, I love this stuff. I love this stuff. It was inside of one day I looked at it. I'm like, I can't pronounce any of these ingredients. I said, all these ingredients, and I can't pronounce a single one. Right? Like, I went to college. I know how to read some stuff. I'm not the brightest bulb at all on the Christmas tree. But I'm looking at it, like, I don't know what this says. So I'm Googling this stuff, and the Wikipedia pages are talking about, like, these synthetic bonds and all this stuff. I'm just like, well, that doesn't seem right. You know? And I have a pretty thick beard. So I was like, well, that doesn't... This seems like this is my hair, you know, and I started noticing split ends because I was using certain kind of beard pomades. I was like, that's not going to cut us from it. So we started with skin scrubs. You know, we started making some stuff, playing around, I'd make something like, hey, try this. I'd make something, try this. She always told me no. She was like, I'm not trying that. You try it. So I was the official taste tester, official product tester of every single product. And I realized, you know, over time what combinations work with essential oils and all that kind of stuff. To get a good shine, a good cleanse, and just a good overall golden glimmer. Now, and then as it transitioned, I was like, I wanted to introduce like body butters, you know, lotion. Because I used to love, and this is, everyone's gonna know this, like the Queen Helen's, you know, cocoa butter when I was in college was the thing. And you get the whole tub of it for like $2 from Walmart, and it was beautiful and lasted and great. But the stuff is terrible for you. So we introduced body butters. After a couple months of trial now, you know, I use the same techniques from there to try transitions and other stuff. Then realized I can completely customize people's products because I spent so much time making stuff and experiments and figure out what worked and didn't work. I knew the formula for making anything work the way I needed it to work.
Wow. So, like you said, a lot of trial and error, but it seems like now you've got the formula down. You mentioned you had products for men, women, and children. So, you really got it down to a science at this point, right?
Yeah, working on it. One of the things that people don't understand when it comes to children, though, kids' skin is very delicate. You're not supposed to use essential oils on it. But a lot of people do buy their kids stuff with fragrances. You know, like a fragrance, it's a synthetic fragrance. You know, an essential oil is a naturally derived oil from a plant or a nut or something, but it's so concentrated that if you put it on your skin as is, it can burn it. And for a baby, that's dangerous. You know, so people are using stuff they use for them on their kids and wonder why their eczema is starting to flare up. The kids that I allow for children has no essential oil in it. And then for men and women, the fragrances come from the oil, you know, because it's light. You don't need too much. A little goes a long way without stuff. There's no need to dilute our bowl. It'll last months and months.
Okay. Now, that sounds good. Now, I had a question about the name, Netter Gold. That's kind of an unusual name. Could you explain how you came up with the name of that for your company?
Well, my buddy Akeem, one of the guys that works with me, he's really big into African folklore, you know, African culture and everything. And I was asking about books on African philosophy. And one of the books he mentioned was Metu Netter books. And it pretty much means God's word. So Netter is the Egyptian word for God. Then Neteru is for gods and goddesses as a group. You know, then there's also the Kemetic words, which ancient Kemet is what we call Egypt today. It was like Neger and Negeru. So we decided to go with something, you know, simple with a little bit of complexity to it. So Netter is the Egyptian word for God. And then gold, of course, is what we consider our product. So our product is essentially called God's gold. And the reason why we allow full customization is because essentially you are your own God. You are your own being. Only you control what happens to you. You know, if you don't do it correctly, no one else is going to do it for you. So you have to take control. You know, look inward first and realize that you control your universe. And then from there, you take back your universe with something so small as your skincare. Because you've been giving away for years, you know, your ability to choose, pick and choose what goes on your skin, what goes, you know, what your skin absorbs, what you eat. So we want people to take back, you know, a small part first. You know, your skincare, and realize this is something you can take back. You know, so you're making your own goal. You're making your own God's goal.
Yeah, I like that because the skin, you keep coming back to that. And the more I think about it, you're so right. It's the largest organ on our body. And it's what people see the most. I mean, our hands, our face. In the summertime, more of our skin is exposed. So we definitely want to take care of it. Especially, you know, the title of this podcast is The Life of a Gentleman. And what gentleman wants to walk around with skin that's damaged yeah. and dry and cracked? That's not a good look, is it, Michael?
It's not at all. Yeah, it's definitely not. The crazy thing is, a lot of people always wonder, what's my key to having a full beard? Because at one point I had a bald spot, you know, and it was like right on the bottom and like a point on the side. And people like kept wondering how I, you know, filled it in. And I told my friends, was like, you're focusing too much on the hair. You know, if you focus on the hair, that's nothing. You got to focus on the root, the soil. You know, you got to focus on the skin.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like a tree, you know, a forest. You know, you can do everything you want to the top of the tree and make it look pretty, but if your soil is damaged and cracked and it's not hydrated, it's not well taken care of, your tree's not going to grow. So you got to start with the skin. Like everything external, in my opinion, comes from the skin. Like the hair comes from the skin. You know, you got to make sure that it's well taken care of. If it's not secreting the right, you know, oils, you know, if you're using the long stuff and stripping away your natural oils, your hair's not going to grow the way you want it to. you know, you're not going to look, you're not going to have that glimmer, you know, that shine, that goddess glow, that God, you know, in your hair, because the soil is corrupt.
I like how you explain this, and interesting enough that there's a lot of gentlemen that have problems with patchy beards, and I never thought about it. Like you said, go to the root of the matter, the skin where the hair follicle pushes through. You've got to take care of that first before you can get that beard to come in nice.
This is something a lot of people overlook. You know, a lot of men, women, everyone usually overlooks the fact that your skin is where your hair is coming from. Because hair in general is dead, you know, so you got to make sure that what's living underneath is well taken care of. So when it comes out, it blossoms and it blooms. You can't try to deal with it once it's already out. A lot of people say, you know, like the shampoo that prevents split ends and stuff. A lot of times those shampoos have like a bonding agent in them. So when you're washing your hair, the split ends kind of get fused together.
Yeah, you have a lot of knowledge in this area. So everybody that's listening, we have to check out this website. Again, that was www.ntrgld.com. Now, before we close out this interview, Michael, we can hear the passion in your voice. So we want to know, what drives you as an entrepreneur?
Well, funny you ask, but I personally believe whatever a person wanted to do as a child is what they want to do with the rest of their life. That was the purest desire you had. You know, before the world told you you couldn't achieve something or couldn't be something, you believed you could do something. You know, a lot of times I equate it to when men have midlife crises, right? Quote unquote midlife crisis. And people are always like, oh, this guy wants to go. He's 40 years old. He has like 3 kids. Now he wants to, you know, start a rock band. He's like, no, when he was a child, he loved music. He wanted to be a rock star. But society told him he could not be this. He couldn't do this. It wasn't practical. It wasn't logical. You can't do that. Right? And he believed it. He accepted that and said, okay, you know what? I'm going to become an accountant and do this. Or I'm going to go and make sure I work in stocks and bonds and do this. You know, do something that makes money, but I'm not really passionate about it. And for me as a kid, when I was 6 years old, my dad took me to see the Batman movie. And I realized that day that I wanted to be a hero. I wanted to change the world. But one thing I realized was a reoccurring pattern was personal responsibility and self-empowerment. A lot of people never take credit for what they did wrong. Right? Like if I get an A in school, I got an A. I earned that A. If I get an F, I said a teacher gave me an F. You know, I didn't take up my own personal responsibility and say, you know what? This is what I earned. I need to do better. You know, a lot of people are told at young ages that they're not good enough. Like, I was told a lot by teachers that I wasn't, you know, just wasn't good at all. Like, one teacher told me I was scum. You know, I told you earlier, a teacher used to go for my artwork. If I was a weaker-minded person, my parents didn't tell me I was great, I would have believed these people and said, okay, you know what? I'm nothing. So my thing is I've seen this happen to so many people. And I just want to encourage people that you are great. You're amazing. You know, so as an entrepreneur, I just want you to realize that you can do whatever you want to do. You know, you can do anything you want to do. As long as you set your mind to it, you believe it. See, that's what my parents always told me. But with this company, it's just that. You can do anything you want to do. Take it back. Take it from small, right? Start with your skin. Start with your hair. Take that back from society who told you what you could and couldn't have. And then once you realize that you can have anything you want in that realm, what's going to stop you from getting anything you want in other realms? You know, like I was thinking about the blog we have to get people to submit their posts and they're telling stories and it's a completely anonymous story. To me, that's important because you never know who may have the same story as you. You know, who has shared a similar pain as you. They say pain is life's greatest lesson. You know, you never know who had the same type of feelings and the same emptiness in your soul. And it's important to realize that you aren't alone in a lot of these things. And all I want to do is bring people together and make sure they understand. You know, if you understand other people have suffered like you suffered or have succeeded like you succeeded, you want to remember that you can always do better, that you're not alone, that you have someone that has your back. Because a lot of people aren't told as kids, like I was, that I was great. Like my father told me I could do anything I wanted to. My mom told me I could do anything I wanted to. And that was powerful. But as an adult, and as an entrepreneur, I want to make sure people understand that I believe in you. And what you want to do is positive, I believe in it. A lot of people, like the drug dealers and stuff, they're told they're great, but they're told they're great at drug dealing. So that's what they strive to do, to be a drug dealer. Like, if someone tells you you're great at math, you're going to work harder to be good at math. You know, it's all what people tell you you're good at. And they push it forward and they continue to tell you you're great. You know, and that's what you chase after. I'm just trying to tell people they're great at being good people. You know, because there's not enough good people in the world that are getting credit. I want everybody to know what you do. If you're a good person, I love you. If you're not a good person, me give you a hug. Let me try to make you a little better person.
Yeah, that's some great advice, and thank you for encouraging those that are listening. And because we have a lot of people, they want to start a business, and sometimes they're scared to do that. But thanks again, like I said, for that encouragement. Now, the last question we like to ask everyone that comes on: what does the life of a gentleman mean to you?
Oh man, that was easy. First, you got to make sure you're a good person. You got to make sure your heart's good. You got to make sure you're a pure heart, like as best as possible. You got to make sure you do your best in everything. You got to make sure you look good too. I don't know if you realize over the phone I'm quite eccentric, and I can't be eccentric and look bad. Because no one's gonna listen to me. You know, I have to make sure I'm dressed, you know, properly across the board. You know, so like I told you, I have so many hairs and like subscription boxes. It's ridiculous. Most pristine pocket square. You know, the best socks, the right watch. You know, and lapel pins. I've never even heard of lapel pins before hairs and like, and I have so many. I just love, you know, having them. You know, so you got to make sure your pure heart. You make sure your clothes are good. You got to make sure your mind's good. If your mind's clouded or diluted, you'll never be the gentleman you're supposed to be. You know, looking the part is nice, but you got to be the part.
Yeah, we appreciate that, Michael, and thank you for supporting Harrison Blake as well. That really means a lot to me personally. Before we go and close out, though, can you let everybody know one more time the name of the website where they can get these products, and also social media so we can follow you and keep in touch?
The website is nettergold.com. It's an abbreviation of NTRGLD.com. And for social media, it's at nettergold, NETRGOLD.
All right, Michael, that sounds good. We hope that we can have you on again in the future. And until next time, take care.
Have a good one. So I'm always a phone call away.
Yeah, that interview was really good. And one thing I like about Michael and even all the other people that we've had to do interviews on The Life of a Gentleman is that you could hear the passion in their voice. And even if you're not able to necessarily relate, or maybe you didn't know who they were prior to the interview, you just hear their passion and it just makes you want to listen to more of what they have to say. And it makes you want to check out their business, buy a product, you know, especially from Netter Gold. Like I said, it's cold outside, it's dry outside. What we need to do is take care of our skin all times of the year. Now, one of my third favorite moments on The Life of a Gentleman is when we had Barnett Holston, who is also known as DC Fashion Fool on Instagram, Twitter, and I believe that's his website as well. He came on to talk about traveling. Now, I know Richard Dennis and I had an episode about traveling probably a couple months ago, but what I liked about Barnett is that he talked about how to pack when you travel and like just little tidbits to travel, because to be honest, I'm not very good at packing. I kind of overpack and all I have is a carry-on. So to listen to DC Fashion Fool, aka Barnett Holston, talk about traveling and maybe how to pack a suit or how to pack different outfits but not really be different outfits, it was really nice to hear, and it really did help, you know, when I had upcoming trips. So listen to when DC Fashion Fool, aka Barnett Holston, talked about traveling and get some tidbits for your upcoming traveling season.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. This week, we're joined by one of our resident stylists, Barnett. What do you have in store for us today?
Hey, guys. I thought I'd kind of talk to you about what to do when you are getting ready to travel, what to take, and how to pack for that.
Oh, man, that's a good subject there, because I know I always overpack. When I come home, I'm left with so much stuff I don't even use. I think this is a good topic.
Yeah, I think we're all kind of guilty of overpacking a little bit.
Yeah, myself personally, I've tried to get better with it over the years, but sometimes still I just have too many items that are just kind of useless. So hopefully these tips are going to help others that are struggling with the same issues when packing to go on a trip somewhere.
I hope so. I hope I can help you out. One of the first things is I always like to plan what I'm going to wear. I think that, you know, if you're going to travel for 5 days and you want to get like five looks, that's kind of a starting base. So that kind of helps you figure out what you want to take.
Oh, okay. So plan what you're going to wear. So should I have 5 complete outfits from head to toe, 5 different pairs of shoes, or how does that work? Or can any of them be interchangeable?
Well, you can interchange them. I think for me, sometimes I'll admit sometimes I do the 5 different shoes, 5 different everything, but I don't think that's necessarily the case. Mixing and matching is really important, and I think that's important for, like, when you're planning. If you think about my next trick, which is my trick 2, is if you kind of stick to one basic color scheme,
okay,
then you can mix and match.
Oh, that's a great tip there, sticking with a color scheme. That way you don't have to pack so much, because we all know how baggage fees can be. It's kind of nice to have just one bag. And if you're bringing a bunch of shoes, let's say on a plane, that's going to take up another bag, right?
Yeah, it'll take another bag. And if you have a bigger bag, you have to think about if you're gonna check that bag. You know, those shoes can kind of weigh a lot, and that'll kill you.
Yeah, that'll cost you.
Yeah, that is a great tip.
Yeah, so it's along the lines about mixing and matching, because I said, you know, my first trick is, all right, I plan these looks. I've got, you know, like 5 great looks, and you just never know what happens. And then all of a sudden, like, hey, I don't want to wear that with this, and all of a sudden you have a better idea, or some event comes up and you have to be a little better dressed or underdressed compared to what you had planned. So you just kind of mix and match, and then you have, if you have 5 outfits, maybe, then all of a sudden you really have maybe 10, because you're able to switch them up.
That is good, to mix and match them. Now, what if you are going out of town and you may want to go shopping? Is it okay to pick up a couple items when you go shopping? Because that's the best thing we know. When you're out of town and you're in a different place, you want to pick up something. How important is that, or should we stay away from that?
I think it depends. I mean, I think you can do that. You know, in a perfect world, we'd take an empty suitcase and just go buy a whole bunch of stuff. But, yeah. You know, that's not going to happen.
Okay.
You know, if there's some great deals, or you see something that's unique for maybe where you're going. I know for me, about 2 months ago, I traveled to Europe, and I just happened to go into the store that I'm a sucker for, like, Hugo Boss stuff, and the price points there compared to what they were here were phenomenal. So
oh, wow.
I was able to pick up some stuff, and I had some space in my luggage, and I got it home pretty nicely. So they're different looks, and I can't wait to try them out for this fall.
Okay, so we see there's nothing wrong with that, especially if you find a deal, that's always a good time to grab something. You don't want to pass it up, right?
Exactly. I think when you're actually packing, one of the best things to do is to kind of roll your clothes. You get a lot more space in your bag, and, you know, it helps with, especially with some of the, if you're taking blazers and things like that, you can roll them, and they fit in your suitcase pretty nicely, and you just unroll and hang when you get there. And that's always a key. One of the things I recommend, and I'm a sucker for it, if you can get onto YouTube and look at The Art of Travel by Louis Vuitton, they show you how to pack their luggage and bags and stuff. It's really, really interesting.
Oh, great.
Now, how important is it to have a nice bag when you're traveling?
It depends on what you mean by nice. If you're talking about, I'm going to buy, like, an expensive bag, I don't necessarily think that's necessarily the key what you're looking for. You want a bag that's sturdy. You want a bag that's going to, if you're going to have to check it, it's going to maintain the wear and tear. So if you're going to hold the bag and it's a carry-on, I think it can be a little bit nicer. You can get a great bag, and, you know, you're just going to put it in the overhead bin. But if you're going to have to take it, and you're going to know you're going to have to check it, and there's a possibility that it could get stolen, just look for bags that are sturdy, that can hold your clothes. You don't need a really, you know, expensive name brand.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. That's really practical. I want to go back just for a second to something you said a minute ago. You said roll up the blazer and then unroll it. I've traveled with my blazers, and when I get to the hotel, they are wrinkled. What can I do?
Well, it depends. Well, if it's linen, you know it's going to be wrinkled. But
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else, I always, you know, tissue paper is really good. You can grab some tissue paper. I stick it in the sleeves. I put it, and I also roll the, I flip the jacket inside out.
Okay.
So the lining is actually on the outside. And then I start from the collar Let me back up. I fold the sleeves in. I have tissue paper in them. Slap some tissue paper right where I folded the sleeves, and then from the collar I roll it down, but not too tight, so it's going to wrinkle, but just enough to it'll hold its shape. And okay. I typically don't have problems. And plus, if your suitcase isn't overpacked, you shouldn't have too many problems.
Ooh, I think that's probably the key, the overpacked suitcase, and then, yeah, making sure that you're not stuffing it in there to prevent those wrinkles. And the inside out, that's an eye-opener too. So, okay, good point there as well.
So we have to roll your clothes, and especially your blazers and tissue paper. What's a great tip? Is there any other tips that you have for us, Barnett?
Yeah, to conserve space, some of the things you want to think about, you know, you've got shoes, the shoes have holes. I always recommend shoe trees. There's some nice travel shoe trees. But in case you don't have them, you can kind of stuff your shoes with your underwear, your socks, and stuff like that. Roll them up, stick them in there. Helps the shoes hold their shape if you don't have trees, and, you know, you have a little more space in your luggage.
Ooh, nice tip there. And you're kind of saving some space at the same time, as well as preserving your shoes. Now, how about your toiletries? What do you do with those? Would you recommend a toiletry bag separate from your clothing?
It depends on the length of travel that you have. If you know you're going to check your bag, yeah, get a good DOP kit, put it in your luggage, and that'll hold everything that you need, and you can actually take full size. If you're just doing a carry-on, then, you know, a big dot bag is going to take up a lot of space, so you might be, plus you're going to be limited to those, you know, the little travel ready bags that you're going to have to pull out anyway, unless you have TSA pre-board, which I recommend for everyone. Then you don't have to take any of that stuff out.
Wow, that sounds like you're a pro on that one. that is a good tip that I think that we will have to start utilizing from now on.
Everybody should sign up for that. I mean, you don't have to take off your shoes. You don't have to take your bag, your computer out of the bag. Your toiletries can stay in the case. And a little secret is sometimes if one of your toiletries doesn't fit and you kind of slide it in your bag, they don't always catch it. And it can go through and you might get away with some full-size stuff. I don't recommend that.
but you didn't hear that from us.
Yeah. Those are the tricks of the trade that we've seen someone else do, not that we've seen you do.
I just heard about it.
Of course. Yeah.
All right, so we learned about the underwear and the shoe trick about conserving space a little bit, or your undergarments. Is there anything else that you have for us? Because these are some great helpful tips. I'm writing them down.
Well, I think that, you know, it's the other thing that you can do, and it's not a lot of cost, is if you're going to check your bag, just get one of those little locks, because you can tell if somebody's been in your bag, because you have some nice stuff in your bags, and at least, you know, if it gets stolen, you have at least some recourse. Some of the locks will guarantee that they're not open. They're just open enough to check, and I always think that it's important to have one.
Definitely makes perfect sense, and we want to thank you for all these tips, really, because each one of them has been very practical and something that we can apply as we travel. It seems like you're a seasoned traveler, so to some of us novices, this is going to be some great information that we really can apply. Hey, would it be all right if you left us with one final travel tip before we say goodbye?
I don't know if it's so much a tip. It's more of a suggestion. One of my things is, I believe that when you travel, you shouldn't. It's not an excuse to be sloppy. I think that when you travel, you are representing wherever you're going, especially if you're going overseas, representing your country or you're representing another state. You should always dress comfortably, but not like a slob.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, because people, since they're traveling, they think it's time to go to sleep, or it's time to have their sleepwear on because they want to be comfortable. But if your clothes fit comfortably, as we talked about earlier, then we will be comfortable when we travel. Man, that makes perfect sense there, Barnett. Hey, I want to thank you again for coming on The Life of a Gentleman.
Hey, before we close out too, could you let everyone know where they can follow you on social media and tell them about your blogs if you'd like to learn more information like this?
Sure, I'd be glad to. I have my blog is called The DC Fashion Fool. On your social media, Twitter, Instagram, it's all the same, at DC Fashion Fool. And you can also follow me for some lifestyle tips for some other stuff under Men's Life DC. And again, all social medias are the same, Men's Life DC.
Thank you so much once again for coming on The Life of a Gentleman. And until next time, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right, talk to you soon.
Man, that was great. Like I said, I really enjoyed hearing Barnett talk about how to travel. You know, I try to travel at least once or twice a year, where I have to get on a plane at least. And to hear this, it really, really helped, because sometimes it is stressful trying to pack and trying to, you know, get all your outfits and your shoes and this and that into your bag. So it was definitely much appreciated that Barnett came on the show to share that insight with us. And unfortunately, that concludes this Best Of episode for The Life of a Gentleman. Like I said, we will be back next week with brand new content. You know, some of our contributors and guests were on vacation because of the holiday season. So we wanted to make sure we were able to give you guys a great lineup for the next episode. We don't like to cut corners here. We don't like to half do things around here. We do appreciate you guys as our listeners. So we want to make sure we can give you a quality experience every time. Now, if you could, we ask that you please rate, review, and subscribe to The Life of a Gentleman. We do read your reviews. We do take your ratings into consideration in order for us to become better. And of course, subscribe, because then you'll get notifications when we post new episodes, which is every Monday at 3 p.m. So we really want you to take advantage of it. We really like learning from each other, because there's not one way to live the life of a gentleman. Everybody has different tidbits and insights that they like to share. So let's learn from each other. Like Richard always says, this is a journey that we're all taking together. I can say, just from me starting to edit the podcast, there's a lot of tidbits that I learned in only about 6 months' time. So just continue to listen in, give us your feedback. Also, if you guys didn't know, Richard does have his own accessories company. It's called Harrison Blake Apparel. They do sell ties, lapel pins, tie bars, socks, just anything that can just upgrade your style. Make sure you go to harrisonblakeapparel.com. And also, while you're there, Richard has wrote a book called The Life of a Gentleman, and you are also able to download that for free. You can get it audio or wherever you like to read your books. So that's a free gift to you guys. And again, we thank you guys. We hope that you guys have had a great start to your new year. And until next time, gentlemen and ladies, take care. These messages are brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel, specializing in fashion accessories such as ties and lapel pins. Join the Harrison Blake Monthly Subscription Club. Each month, they deliver one necktie plus 4 additional matching accessories for only $25. This is the easy way to build or enhance your wardrobe. To learn more and subscribe, visit harrisonblakeapparel.com. These messages are also brought to you by DeAndra Marie, a young, talented female host who conducts interviews, event coverage, and produces the Life of a Gentleman podcast. For inquiries on how to be featured, please visit www.itsdeandramarie.com.